One of the teachings of the church is that God has been revealing God's self through various ways since the world began. That the things that God does and the word of Scripture, they reveal not things about God so much as God's own self. And so the Scriptures record the various things that God has done, the events. For example, the prime example probably is the Exodus. God hears their cry of distress, comes to actively save them, delivers them into the promised land. A shortened version of a long story. And then there are the prophets who formed people and accused them sometimes and comforted them at other times. And there are the historical books of the Old Testament that describe the history of the various kings, the history of Israel. And there's the law, which teaches people how to act like God in justice and in truth and in righteousness, out of compassion and love for one another. And so all of that scriptural word is a revealing of who God is. And so when we finish a reading, we say, the word of the Lord, because that's the word. But then, when the proper time had come, the word took on flesh and became a human being. That gradual revelation, that patient revelation of God, took on flesh. So he becomes the revealer par excellence. In fact, we call him the Word. St. John's Gospel starts out, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's the Word that God spoke when everything came into being. That's the Big Bang. It's the spoken word of the Son, the second person of the Trinity, that creation begins to happen and gradually unfolds over billions of years. But at one point in history, it takes on human flesh and becomes the revelation of all revelations. And so for the last 2,000 years, ever since Christ, the Christian community has been reflecting on that word and discerning what it means about God, but also what it means about us. Because the great revealer reveals not only who God is, but he reveals who humans are too. We who are created in God's image, so everything that is true about Christ is also true about us, or at least potentially so. Now, we're in the middle of the Triduum, the 3 days. These are the most sacred liturgies of the entire year. They're each a little bit different, and they're more solemn, and there's really no mystery here that's being revealed that isn't revealed every Sunday. Every Sunday is about the Paschal mystery, but in these 3 days, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday, we are digging in a little deeper, a little bit more prayerfully, more reflectively, a little more solemnly. And so what is the truth that's being revealed here? First of all, Jesus reveals that God is the dying one. God is the one who takes it to the cross out of love. The one who is more concerned about the other than about himself. And he reveals, and Christian theology has reflected on this and come to this conclusion about the Trinity, that the three persons of the Trinity, they're all three dying for the other. They're giving themselves completely, not guardedly, not worried about their own self, but letting go, absolutely letting go of everything. And that's the revelation of the cross. That God is the dying one, that God lives and dies for the other. But Easter celebrates resurrection. And that reveals something about God too. Because in fact, at the same time that each of those three persons is absolutely self-giving to the other two, they're receiving that same self-gift back from the others, and so dying is rising. There is no death. Dying is not really dying. Dying is living. Because none of those three persons in the Trinity needs to give up everything, because they're always receiving it back at the same time. And so Jesus says that at various points in the gospel about us. To give is to receive. To die is to get your life given back to you. To become last and least is to become first. To become servant is glory. And we've heard that all our Christian lives. But today we celebrate particularly that truth, that reality. And it's a revelation, because the world doesn't know this. The world thinks that when you die, you die. The world thinks that everything is finite, that there is no eternal life. But the Christian gospel has it another way. We say dying is not really dying. You don't lose when you give, you win. And the more you give away, the more you get back. Now, in that first reading, St. Peter says, not everyone gets this, but it has been revealed to us so that we can be witnesses to this. And that's what Peter and the other disciples did for the rest of their lives. They gave everything. Peter died a horrible death, just like Christ. He went all the way from Jerusalem to Rome in days of travel which weren't as easy as they are now. Flights were hard to book in those days. And Paul ends up in Rome too. And Paul is beheaded after suffering greatly. They just lost themselves in this gospel. They just gave everything. And they're the ones who keep telling us in the New Testament that they're the happiest of all. That they don't feel like they're losing. They feel like they're gaining. St. Paul says, for me, everything is Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ living in me. And I have given up everything because I belong to Christ. And that's who we are too. This message, this good news, has been given to us. It hasn't been given to everyone. But we are witnesses of this. And so every Sunday we gather here and we tell the story. We remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. We remind ourselves that there is no death. Now, in the funeral liturgy, when we go out to the grave, there is a blessing of the grave. And I forget the exact words, but the gist of it is, we are blessing this ground which for a time claims our mortal bodies. But in the resurrection at the end, our bodies will rise from the grave and live forever. The 3 days that Jesus spent in the tomb is symbolic of the eons that we spend in the grave before the end. You see, he took on all of our humanity, even the time in the tomb, in the grave. But the tomb could not hold him. Death could not conquer him. And he rose after 3 days. Well, the same is true for us. It may be eons before the second coming. It may be a long time that we're going to be in the tomb. But in terms of all eternity, that's just 3 days. It's nothing. Just like Christ, the grave can't hold us. Death has no real power over it. There is no death. There is only life. Love is more powerful than death. Truth is more powerful than sin. God is more powerful than evil, and we are part of God. We came from God. We're going to God. We no longer live, but Christ lives in us. In baptism, we died with Christ so that we might also share in his resurrected life. And that's not just at the end. That's right now, too.